It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
What is your favorite idol? You'll probably respond, "I don't worship idols." Are you sure? In our series on reclaiming worship, we need to ask, what is idolatry? That way we can recognize idolatry or idols when we come across them. One useful definition of an idol is whatever claims the loyalty that belongs to God alone. I have another question for you later, but for now let's consider what idolatry might look like. The prophet Isaiah writes of a person who cuts down a tree. With half he cooks his food, and with the other half he carves a god. The prophet then asks the rhetorical question at Isaiah 44, verse 19, "Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" Idolatry, when you think of it, doesn't make sense. The entry into idolatry can be very subtle. Often it is as discreet as focusing on one quality of the true God and forming an image of that attribute. For example, people make an image of a bull to represent God's great strength. Do you remember Aaron? He made an idol cast in the shape of a calf in Exodus 32. Old Testament scholar Christopher Wright comments that, quote, "The primal problem with idolatry is that it blurs the distinction between the Creator God and the creation. This both damages creation, including ourselves, and diminishes the glory of the Creator," end quote. Most often we think of idols as physical images, humanly created to represent a god or an attribute of a god. For example, a few years ago I visited a town in northern Guatemala. On the hill overlooking the town was the Iglesia Cristo de Shishim, meaning the Church of Christ of Shishim. On a patch of ground in front of that church building is a large concrete cross. Immediately to its right is a blackened stone oven. Now, I can't show you a photograph, but let me describe it. There was a man pressing his head against the cross while a Mayan priest or shaman looked on. The fire burned his offering and the oven consumed his candles. Now, for your information, Shishim is the name of the Mayan corn god. Those people were burning offerings to the Mayan corn god Shishim. We probably agree that this is a graphic example of idolatry. But idols are not always obvious physical images. From their offering to Shishim, these same people turn around and walk upstairs maybe 50 feet or 15 meters and into the church building or iglesia to do their Christian thing. We probably find it puzzling, even contradictory. Those people didn't. From our perspective, their loyalty is not to God alone. To those people, they are simply covering their bases. Dean Fleming relates the story of a colleague who had a chance encounter with a grandmother in a part of the Philippines where the local animistic religion was widely practiced. He noticed a cross hanging around her neck and asked her if she was a Christian. "Yes," she assured him, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And when she discovered that my friend was a Christian missionary, she invited him to visit her humble dwelling. To his surprise, she showed him a traditional spirit house behind her home that was intended to ward off the evil spirits. "If you are a Christian," he queried, "why do you still keep a spirit house?" Her matter-of-fact reply was, "I just want to make sure that all of the bases are covered." So conclude that people who worship idols might also go to church. Earlier in this podcast, I said I would ask you another question. Here it is. Has idolatry seeped into your life? Most of us will probably answer, "Of course not. I don't worship the corn god Shishim or do anything like that." Let's think about that. I've been reading Elizabeth Scalia's book, Strange Gods. In it, she unmasks some of the idols of everyday modern Western life. She presents an idol as an idea fleshed out or formed by craftiness and a certain needy self-centeredness. Here are some of those idols that she names: prosperity, technology, coolness and sex, plans, We could add family, status, education, spirituality, etc. Keeping this in mind, let me ask again, has idolatry seeped into your life? Are any of these idols of self-centeredness claiming your loyalty that belongs to God alone? If we're honest, we probably should say, well, maybe, but just a bit. Here's what Jesus says on the idea of self-centeredness, the idol of prosperity, in Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Usually you can tell what people value and love by how they spend their time and their money and their enthusiasm. On that basis, average North Americans love their jobs, their houses, their vacations, and their bodies. And that's not to say that we shouldn't work or live in a house, take some well-deserved time off, or live a healthy lifestyle. But I think it's fair to say that in our culture, many of us do love these things excessively. In other words, we worship them. To us, they've become idols. So maybe we're not so different from those burning corn to Shishim, but we just have better smoke control. Whoever you are, here's what you can do. Find a quiet place where you're not going to be disturbed. Sit down or kneel down and speak these words deeply, meaningfully. They come from Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive, perhaps idolatrous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the quietness, wait for God to answer. Is an idol becoming identified in your life? Perhaps an idea of self-centeredness? Now, allow yourself to be led by God in the way everlasting. And as He shows you where you've misplaced your loyalty, take time to confess, to agree with God, and claim His forgiveness. Perhaps we'll move on from here next week and look at how to free ourselves from idols.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.